Charles Haddon Spurgeon had a message on this psalm that he called Earthquake But Not Heartquake. Very seldom in this world do we live a day when our hearts are not tried, when our hearts are not tested, when we do not come up against something that tries our courage and our faith. Well, the doctrine of this psalm is, happen what may, the Lord's people are happy and secure. This psalm is the song of holy confidence. This psalm is a song for all who are truly the people of God, truly the chosen of God, those who have been called by the irresistible grace of God into that one fold. Oh, called to be His own people, to have this fearless courage spoken of in this psalm is the lot of these that are the chosen of the Lord. And beloved, we ought to have it if we're God's people. We ought to be very bold in laying hold of the scriptures and the truths and the promises of the Word of God and making them our very own. The Bible says in Philippians 4 and verse 7 that the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, will keep the hearts and the minds of all who come before God in prayer and thanksgiving, in submission to Him and to His will. God will keep them in perfect peace because their minds and hearts are stayed on Him. He is the faithful God. He is the true promise keeper. And you can trust the God of the Bible to keep His word. Not one word that ever came forth out of His mouth has ever failed. If indeed the Lord be our refuge and strength, we're entitled to seek after a spirit which shall bear us above the dreads of common men. Oh, to be victorious in our blessed God and to lay hold of enough truth out of the Word of God to lift us up in these dark and difficult days, to cheer our hearts and our souls onward in our pilgrimage. Now, it is evident that it is not every man that can sing this psalm with meaning. You must be a believer on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says that without faith, it is impossible to please Him, for they that cometh unto Him must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. Without faith, you cannot please God, my friend. Without faith, you cannot receive from Him the boldness and the courage and the strength to face the difficulties of life and to be an overcomer. You must have God to be your God, and you must be a prayerful soul, or you cannot sing this song of praise amid the commotion and the calamity of this world. Now, while this is a psalm for all Israel, it was especially, I think, a psalm for the sons of Korah. Korah, Dathan, and Abiram perished because of their presumption, you know, toward Moses and toward God's call of him to deliver the children of Israel. And you remember that the earth opened up and swallowed them up. They and all that appertained unto them were swallowed up. But we read in the book of Numbers 26, in verse 9 through 11, and in verse 11 especially, and we're very astonished to read indeed that notwithstanding the children of Korah did not perish. And so God in sovereign mercy and sovereign grace, and I attribute their escape to the sovereign grace of God who spared them. Now they were a division of the Levites. They were made singers in the courts of the Lord, and surely they would sing with emphasis these words in verse 2. Therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. Surely they would sing this song as they rose to sing. They saw the earth open her mouth and swallow up the offenders of their household, while they themselves were preserved by God's sovereign grace. Sure, there must have been tears in their eyes when they sang these words and thought of the earth opening up at their feet and their relatives and kinfolk falling in and perishing forever, and they themselves spared. Well, I believe the circumstances under which a man is saved will influence the rest of his life. Delivered from so great a death, believers learn to trust that the Lord will yet deliver them. Who delivered us from so great a death, and doth deliver, in whom we trust that he will yet deliver us. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 10. Our lives are just one deliverance after another. One deliverance after another. That's been my experience. Salvation yesterday. Salvation today. Salvation tomorrow. God's deliverance is always with his people. They experience the Lord's deliverance. You remember Psalm 34 and verse 19 says, many are the afflictions of the righteous, but the Lord delivers them out of them all. God is a delivering God. He's a God of salvation. And that word salvation is a big word. And it covers not only the redemption of our souls, but it covers all of the deliverances that we experience in our lifetime as we go on our way from this life unto glory. Well then, first of all, let us look at this confidence of the saints. This is a psalm, as we said, of holy confidence. And second, we'll talk a little bit about the courage which grows out of the confidence that the saints have. And thirdly, we will close by looking at some of the conflicts in life which that courage will be sure to expose. First of all then, let us consider the confidence of the saints of God. God's people have a sure confidence. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. True believers rest upon the Rock of Ages. In Isaiah chapter 36 and verse 4, the king of Assyria sent a letter to Hezekiah and asked the question, what confidence is this wherein thou trustest? Well, Jeremiah 17, verse 7 says, blessed is the man that trusteth in the Lord, and whose hope the Lord is. So, beloved, this is our confidence and our hope. It's in the Lord. It's in the living God. It's in the God of heaven and earth. It's in that God who does according to his own will in the earth and in heaven above. The confidence of God's people is altogether beyond themselves. They do not now, nor did they ever, trust in their own virtue, their own valor, their own wisdom. Though the earth be removed, he is undismayed. And this does not arise from his own personal self-sufficiency, but from the God who is his refuge and strength. The child of God is fearless, not because of his original stoutness of heart and natural firmness of will, but because he has a God to shelter and to uphold him. The Lord of hosts is with us. Now he has a God to shelter him. He has a God to uphold him. If he does not fear calamity, it is because he fears God and God alone. God is over all and he is all in all. And he does not fear calamitous situation. Our psalm begins with God and with God it ends. The God of Jacob is our refuge. We may be timid by nature, but God is our refuge. And we will not be timid in the way, because God is indeed our refuge and strength. We're weak by nature, but God is indeed our strength. Beloved, we never know what strength is till our own weakness drives us to trust in the God of the Bible, to trust the arm of omnipotence. Now, I don't know whether you've ever come there or not, but my friend, if you've come to that place where you felt your own weakness by nature and know that you're not able to stand in and of yourself, and to know that your strength must be a derived strength, a strength from God, then, my friend, you're resting this morning upon the omnipotence of God, and truly this is indeed your confidence. We never know how safe our refuge is until all other refuge fail us. All other refuges are lies. Have you come to see that in experience? And that God and God only is the only safe refuge. And when we're driven to that, oh, when the earth is removed and the waters of the sea roar and are troubled, being as it were driven both from land and sea, the child of God hides himself in God, his refuge and his strength. Now if we look to ourselves for courage, we shall fail in the hour of trial because we're broken reeds. And there is no resource, there's no strength outside of God's strength. Certainly, we need courage in this hour. We need courage to face the difficulties and the struggles and the decisions of life and the changes of life. We need much courage. Oh, my friend, you may say, well, I'm young and healthy and I really don't need that message. Well, my friend, you wait a few years. You get on down the pike a little while and you will find out that you need this courage from God to face everyday life. Not only the difficult times, but everyday life, you need this courage. The man who trusteth in his own heart, the Bible says in Proverbs 23 and 26, that he is a fool, and whosoever walketh wisely shall be delivered from his own heart. And we must pray that God will deliver us from our own mind, our own natural thinking, our own decisions and our own ways, that God will deliver us. Next, this confidence is gained, I think, by an appropriating faith. Don't forget this personal possessive word, our, in the text. God is our refuge and strength. Now, brother, sister, peace comes to me, and not only by what God is, but by what God is to me. This is so important that we see this. This psalm is meaningless unless this God is my God. Unless He's our God. Unless we can lay hold of that, then, my friend, this psalm won't mean anything to us. God is our refuge and strength. This God is our God. And you will never enjoy the goodness and the greatness of God if you look at them in an abstract manner. You must grasp them as your own, as your very own. Jeremiah said, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul. Therefore will I hope in Him." The Lord is my portion. Now every true heaven-born child of God, washed in the blood, filled with the Holy Spirit of God, can say, "The Lord is my portion." He is indeed my portion. You say, well, He may belong to everybody else, but I'm not sure He belongs to me. Then you need to question your foundation to see if the root of the matter be in you. If the root of the matter is in you, then this God is indeed, you can say with Jeremiah, "The Lord is my portion, saith my soul, therefore will I hope in Him." That deep peace and settled confidence, which is our right and privilege as a child of the King, will not be ours unless by faith we take the Lord to be ours in all the fullness of His love and grace. Let us each say, God is our refuge and strength. Would it bother you? Would it hinder you any? Would it mess up your day if you were to say right now out loud, God is our refuge and strength? Would it bother you? Well, I don't hear anybody saying it. But God is our refuge and strength. Now, this confidence will be strengthened and sustained by a clear knowledge of God. By a clear knowledge of our God. The Bible says, "Acquaint thyself with God and be at peace. Thereby good shall come unto thee." Now, poor soul, you would be much happier if you knew the Lord better. If you just knew Him better. The philosophers tell us that the proper study of mankind is man. That is a deplorably, deplorably barren subject. We say that the proper study of mankind is God. Yet He is only known by revelation. Now, He's not hiding from His own. We ought to know more about God than we did a year ago today. Do we know? Are we increasing in the knowledge of God? Are we growing in the grace and knowledge of our God. Every child of God ought to be able to speak of Him in a threefold description as our refuge, our strength, and a very present help in trouble. They ought to be able to say out of experience, I know this. I have learned this. I know my God. I have traveled with my God. I've walked with my God. I'm in fellowship with my God. And I've learned this by experience, that He's our refuge, our strength, and is a very present help in time of trouble. Now, the more we know the Lord, the more we see the fullness of the blessings that are in Him. The Lord hath done great things for us. The psalmist said it in another place, for which we're glad. He's done great things for us. Well, I know that if you know the Lord and you've been in the way any length of time, that God has done great things for you, and He's manifested Himself to you, and He's come by your door. He's come to visit you in your calamitous situations, and He's been your deliverer. Now, the blessings that are in Him, these blessings we need to know about. Oh, I read a story one time about a lady that had come into a fortune, but she was living as a pauper. And she continued to live. She wouldn't believe what she was told, that she had come into a fortune. And she lived out her days as a pauper. And so many of the children of God are living beneath their privileges when they will not believe what the Word of God says, when they'll not read it, when they'll not study it. Somebody suggested the other day that every person should read the Bible 15 minutes a day. Well, I think that would certainly be a good start. But we need to know the Lord. We need to know Him better. And Paul, he was a saved man, but he said, oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His suffering, that I might know Him. Listen, beloved, your peace will be far fuller and deeper if you know the deep things of God and the secret things which God reveals to His own by His Spirit. I know that there are things that the eye has not seen, that the ear has not heard, and that has not entered into the heart of man. But God, Paul says, has revealed them. He has revealed them unto us by His Spirit. And so we need to know these deep things of God. And you will not be afraid of evil tidings, as since your heart is fixed, trusting in the Lord, who is so revealed in the Bible. Now, if you're a timid and fearful believer, seek to grow, my friend, in the knowledge of God, that you'll be able to say, therefore, will not we fear, though the earth be removed. I believe that half of our fears are the results of ignorance. Half of our fears, let me say it again, are because of our ignorance. I exhort all believers present to dwell much in the presence of God and ask to be instructed in the nature and the character of the attributes of God, the purpose, the promise, and the providence of the covenant God of Israel, the covenant God of the spiritual Israel. All saved people are spiritual Israel. And so we need to be instructed in His character, His attributes, and His purpose and His promises. Solid peace and confidence, which no calamity can destroy, must come from God appropriated, and from God growingly known. You can mark it down. Number two, the courage which grows out of this confidence, this holy confidence that believers have. Now, this courage is full and complete. Therefore, we will not fear. We will not fear. We will not fear. David said in another place, when I'm afraid, I'll just trust in the Lord. And he said in another place, I'll just trust in the Lord and not be afraid. Fear, my friend, cripples a child of God. And we best not be fearful of anything other than to fear the living God. If you fear God, you need not fear anything else. The presence of God does so stay the soul and quiet the heart that the fear that hath torment is driven away. Can you say this morning honestly that you're not a fearful soul? That you're just a believing soul? You know, the Bible says the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. The fearful and the unbelieving. Now, I know what it is to be in a position where that very fearful and very unbelieving. I don't know whether there's anybody here can identify that with that or not. But I do want you to know that God will say to you, He will speak to you, the fearful and the unbelieving shall have their part in the lake which burns with fire. God's people must trust the Lord and go straight ahead. They must believe God. And when there's decisions to be made about your security, about your future, about what you're going to do with your life and your children and your family, you must be believing. The just shall live by faith. They believe God. They trust God. They appropriate the promises of the Word of God to their own soul. And they do not succumb to fear and unbelief. They must trust in the living God. The base nature of man is fearful. It could not be otherwise. But though the grace of God, the heaven-born spirit triumphs over nature and its fear. What I mean to say by that is that we come into this world fearful. And we'll be fearful as long as we live in this world unless we anchor our souls in the faithful God of the Bible. We're perplexed, Paul said, but we're not in despair. This world we know is full of danger, and yet we know that we are in no danger. Is that a true statement? The world is full of danger. You could get in trouble in 5 minutes, more trouble than you can get out of the rest of your life. Fact is, you can get in more trouble just in the time it takes you to sign your name than you'll ever get out of the rest of your life. You can get in all kinds of serious, serious problems in this world, but the child of God who is resting in the Lord and who has this holy boldness and confidence in God, he knows that he is in no danger. The Lord being near, did it not say that he was a very present help in trouble? I like that. A very present help in trouble. Oh yes, I do believe God's with these people. I do believe that God is in fellowship and communion with these people. I believe that there's no hour of the day or the night when the people of God are separated from their God. They are in union with Christ, and God is their God. And so, listen, the heart then, as we are near God and Him being our help, the heart is placid, undisturbed. It is peaceful. The old heart is peaceful. How wonderful, what a blessing to have a peaceful heart, to be able just to relax and say, the will of God be done. Let the Lord do what seems right in His own eyes. Isn't that all right with you? Amen? It's all right, for let the Lord do what seems right to Him. That's what old Eli said when his sons died. So let the Lord do what's right in His own eyes. So it's good to have a undisturbed, peaceful heart. You say you're going to miss your best chance in life, preacher. Well, we'll see. We'll see. We'll wait on the Lord. We'll trust God. We'll see whether we miss it or not. Somebody said, you know, preacher, you don't give enough thought to life. You know, the Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6 said at least 3 times over, take no thought for your life. Said, can a man live that way? Yes, he can live that way if he's trusting the Lord. Now, I know there's a thin line between faith and foolishness. I know that. But I do know this, that you can trust God. And if you truly are trusting Him, God knows it. Because the Bible says the Lord knoweth them that trust in Him. And He will lead and guide and direct you. Now, the peace the believer has is no pretense of peace, but it's a divine reality which the world can never create nor destroy. It's a divine reality. It's something that we know is true. Somebody said, prove it. Well, I don't have to prove it myself. I just will enjoy it while you're questioning it. I'll enjoy it. Now, this courage is logically justifiable because no calamity will change God, and no calamity will change God's love to earth, to us. Earthquake, tempest, famine, pestilence, war, these temporal calamities do not touch the vital matter. Such things have no bearing on the love of God except maybe to make it more clear. Well, I like that. I do. I really like that. Because, you know, there's times when we see the love of God very clearly. And then there's other times when we just got to believe that God loves us. Just got to believe He does. And that's very important that we just believe that the God of the Bible, He changes not. He said to the sons of Jacob, He said, I am God, I change not, therefore you're not consumed. Now, beloved, as long as, you know, the only reason why we still continue on as we are is because God is immutable. He doesn't change. His love, no variations, no. His love never changes toward His people. Suppose that the most awful things were to occur. Would they not occur according to God's decree? Can you answer that question? You say, well, what happens if the earth be removed? Well, this old earth been here a long time, don't you think? Been here a long time. And if it were to be removed, who could move it except the God who created it? He's the only one who could move it. And I do believe that if He gets ready to move it, He will. I don't have a question in my mind that He can move this old earth. Do not we believe in a God who works all things after the counsel of His own will? Isn't that what Ephesians 1 and verse 11 says? That God works all things after the counsel of His own will? Do you really believe that anything is left to chance? Do you? That anything is left to chance? I don't. Is any event outside the circle of divine predestination? Now, of course, I mean, I'll be quick to admit, I'm a Calvinist. I'm a firm Calvinist, a convicted Calvinist. I can't be anything else. And so I believe that there are no events outside the circle of divine predestination. My brother, sister, there are no contingencies. A chance, somebody said? It's possible. No, what God has decreed is certain to happen. It's certain to happen. God guides all according to His infallible wisdom. Nothing can happen but what God ordains. Why should we be afraid? You say, well, it's just a matter of believing that, preacher. That's exactly what I'm talking about. It's a matter of you believing God. That's what it's all about. Nothing happens without the divine power being in it. The Lord says, behold, I've created the smith that bloweth upon the coals in the fire. I've created the waster to destroy, and the most violent and vicious and wicked men could not move a finger if strength were not lent to them by the Lord. We need to face that, and we need to worship God. Worship God. Quit going around trying to figure out how you're going to sit in this situation, where you're going to be left when this world comes down. It's coming down. Don't waste your time. Leave it with the Lord. Trust in the Lord and depend upon Him. Is it not God who looketh on the earth? Who shakes the earth? Is it not God who looketh on it, and it trembleth? This old earth trembles when God looks at it. I wonder why that would be. Would it not be because he's the sovereign creator? Is it not be because he spoke it into existence? He couldn't be here without him having sustained it, and he upholds it. Oh, would to God that you and I'd tremble. You know, we can't draw a breath apart from the sovereign will of God. And the earth knows who upholds it and sustains it. And so it trembles when God looks at it. Do we really believe God? So our Heavenly Father worketh all things. Our Heavenly Father. Our Father. Our Heavenly Father. I just got to believe that our Heavenly Father is genuinely concerned about us. I've just got to believe that he overrules all to the good of his people. Even what is called evil is turned to good account toward his people. Our Heavenly Father. Our Heavenly Father. He's a merciful. Somebody said the Lord's goodness extracts the viper's tooth and supplies an antidote to the poison. I believe that. Who is he that can harm you if you be followers of that which is good? Is that not also taken from the pages of Holy Scripture? No weapon that is formed against thee shall prosper, and every tongue that shall rise against thee in judgment thou shalt condemn. Moreover, nothing can shake the kingdom of God. Our best possessions lie in that kingdom, and as long as that is secure, all is safe. The gates of hell, the Bible says, shall not prevail against that kingdom. Our most vital interests are safe beyond the shadow of harm. Why should we fear even the worst thing? Somebody said death. We ought to fear that, shouldn't we? Well, all depends. All depends. You know, death for the believer means forever with the Lord. It means that all these earthly difficulties and struggles are over. It means the day of trouble is over. That's what it means. So should we fear death? Well, you know, it's death and then glory. You must go through the one to get to the other. This fearfulness is very, fearlessness, I should say, is very profitable. No foolishness about it. No folly, no panic. I'm trusting God. I depend upon the Lord. One thing more, this courage brings great glory to God. If you can rise above fear in the time of alarm, the world will be compelled to say, this is a man who fears God. This is a man who believes God. And this is God's work upon his soul and in his life. Be still, the psalmist said, and know that I'm God. Be still and know that I'm God. Well, a word or two about the conflicts to which this courage will be exposed. If you become fearless, that courage will be tried. It will be tried in ways novel and maybe unusual. Though the earth be removed, think of it. That's a terrible novelty, isn't it? The old earth has stood, as we said, for ages. And, you know, you might ask yourself a question, how old is my situation? How old is it? You say, I've been dealing with problems, preacher, that you don't know about for a long time. For a long time. Well, that's all right. Are you dealing with them in faith? Are you trusting God with them? Do you believe God sent them? If you believe God, go on and trust the Lord. The whole foundation seems to have slipped from under us. What will we do? the question is asked. Remember that new trials will bring new grace and prove the value of old promises. He giveth more grace, the Bible says in James. Then there are trials that are mysterious and very threatening. What would you think if you were to see the mountains carried into the midst of the sea? That's mysterious indeed, isn't it? They have stood the test of time, but beloved, some afflictions are like this, and you cannot understand them. Remember, if all the devils in hell had a hand in your troubles, you need not fear, because God is greater than all the demons of hell. Now, some trials are utterly ungovernable. Though the waters thereof roar and be troubled. You cannot do anything with the sea when it rages. Think of the noise, the raging the waters make. Well, there's no need to fear noise, is there? Sometimes it's very annoying. As Brother Randy pointed out this morning before church, the Lord sitteth upon the flood, yea, the Lord sitteth king forever. Don't give way to panic. God is God. What is your present trouble? Whatever they be, you must not let yourself be buried in despair. Hope on, hope ever. He can deliver from the jaw of the lion, and he will deliver without fail his trusting people. The Lord liveth, and blessed be my rock. As long as the Lord lives, our hope lives also. The believer will not be forsaken. It pleased the Lord to make you his people. If heart and flesh both fail, God will be the strength of your heart and your portion forever. The Lord Jesus has made an end of dread, fear, horrors for his people. Whether we live or die, it is okay. We shall dwell eternally in his presence. We're secure in Christ Jesus. Let the world crash around us. We will not fear. May God help us to look out of the windows of our bodies at our refuge, not at the storms, but to look out at our refuge, the Lord. What will you sinners do in the time of calamity, a time such as the psalm talks about here? What must the ungodly be in for? They don't have any confidence to live by day. Well, you better take the poet's advice. Ye sinners, seek his grace, whose wrath ye cannot bear. Fly to the shelter of his cross and find salvation there. A fortress firm and steadfast rock is God in time of danger, a shield and sword in every shock from foe well-known or stranger. Beloved, I do hope that there's been some of these things that have been said here this morning that has built your confidence in the Lord, and that you go out of here with a believing heart, with a believing soul, that you will say, I am a believer. Now, you said this once. You said it in your confession of Christ, and you said it in your baptism, I am a believer. Shall eternity reveal that you're an unbelieving believer? Or are you going to live and go out of this world believing God? Well, I want to believe God. That's what I want to do. I want to believe him to the end. And I want to die the death of the righteous. And those of you that know not Christ, I don't know what you're going to do. But the Bible says you kiss the Son. And I think you kiss the Son by embracing him in the promise of salvation. Now, I do know that blessed are the eyes that see those things that the Lord has revealed about himself. And I do know that none hear the word of God and none see, spiritually speaking, apart from it being given to them. But I do believe that if there is a seeking sinner, there's a seeking Savior. And I do believe that you'd never seek the Lord if he wasn't seeking you. So if you're seeking, seek on. Seek on. He'll be found. He'll be found. I tell you, he'll be found. Seek the Lord. Seek him with all of your heart. And you believers, you that have professed faith in the Lord, let's encourage one another. Let's build up one another. Let's talk to you about the faithfulness of God, the goodness of God, and the loyalty and the dependability of God. Faithfulness, faithfulness. The God who called us is faithful, and we can trust him. Read and meditate on this psalm this week, and may the Lord bless these truths to your heart. I'm going to be away for a while, and Brother Aaron and I